Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
If I can do it at 51 years old with $100,000 a month in passive income, they ain't got no goddamn reason to get their ass out of the house and get going.
He said you ain't got no excuses.
Everybody in real estate, they all trying to go wide, but I keep telling people going wide is not as effective as going deep.
Speed my rants and gems. Speed my rants and gems. Yeah, I can do it. We discover he's doing the kings and the queens. Word to mother lie.
We are here today with the man, the myth, the legend. Look, man, if you go to Instagram, you go to TikTok, you're going to see this man right here with his children out in the field. We got the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Tach Nugent. Welcome to the show, my brother. How are you today?
Doing good. I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on here, you guys. Appreciate it, baby. Let's bring this.
Look, man. Look,
Let's do it.
He coming here with the energy. You got me hyped right now.
Right.
Yo, do it. Let's do it.
Look, man. So, Tach, you've been in the industry for 30-plus years. I want to get right to the point, right? Because you've been through cycles, and everybody's
four cycles, just so you know.
You've been through four cycles, and everybody is scared. And I'm pretty sure your DMs and emails are blowing up, especially from your students, from your followers. Do you think the real estate market is going to crash, Tach?
I think it's being adjusted, and I think it is not going to crash, but I think it is being adjusted to slow down the progressionness of this craziness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not sustainable. They're trying to stabilize it, is what I'm saying, right? So, you know, if you've been in the business long as me, I've seen it. When I started real estate in 1991, interest rate was like 12, 13, 14%.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about 6% or 5.5 today, it ain't a big deal.
It's not. Not at all.
It's all restrictive. You see what I'm saying? So when you look at it from 3 to 5, people go, we're about to crash and burn, right? But when you look at it from my perspective, like, you know what? We're stabilizing to a healthy, normal market.
Mm. Look, and I think people forget that, right? 2017, 18, 19, rates were going between 4.5%, 5.5%. You know, right. So for me, I think, especially with the younger generation, they just only remember anything pre-COVID, no one remembers.
Right.
I think the world just started in 2020, right? So, like, it's crazy. I'm like, look, you guys should have bought real estate while I was there because it's all about the timing. It's not when you're ready. You got to time the market and you got to jump on it while the opportunity is there. So what advice would you give to these new folks that's looking to get into the business on buying real estate in this type of market?
Don't worry about trying to save $5, $50,000 when you're playing a long game. Because 20 years ago, when you look back, the market gone up so much, $5 and $50,000 look like pennies.
Facts. Mm.
Now, that's a big gem. I think that so many people are out here looking for a huge deal or afraid to just pay what the market demands. And now you hold 100 rental units, right? And your 100 plus, your goal is to get to 1,000 investment properties.
Right.
So what is your strategy right now while you're shopping and navigating this market to get to that number?
So for me right now, I do residential and I also do commercial.
Mm-hmm.
I buy houses still today. I rehab them. And a lot of big city right now, firstly, dense city like Seattle, LA, even a lot of places in the East Coast where they are allowing people to put ADUs in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you can get multiple property on one single family lot. So I'm doing a lot of that. I'm rehabbing, I'm building Gadu, and I'm keeping those for rentals. So I'm turning one house and putting 2, 3, 4, 5 houses on one lot. And then I'm building regular row houses, what you see in New York and San Francisco. And then I'm building large apartment building. So when I count 100 doors, from a lot of you guys I know, it's sometimes a lot of people count the door, I count the property.
So you have 100 properties, which could be, which one property, like you said, could be four properties into one.
I got a property in Oakland right now. I just finished building this 100 unit. I got a property right now. I'm building right now. You probably see on Instagram where it's one property, but it's 35 apartment units.
Wow. So Seattle doesn't, the zoning laws, it sounds like the zoning laws are really developer friendly out there.
It ain't friendly, you guys. There's a, you know, we're a state where, you know, it's not advocated, you know what I mean, for the proactive people, you know what I mean? I leave it like that, right? So they make it difficult for developers and entrepreneurs out here in Seattle. But you know what? I live here, so I ain't gonna move. I just gotta have to flow with it.
Look, and you know what? I think that's what most people make mistakes, right? They're trying to go against the current, right? You just gotta flow with it, because real estate is not that difficult.
What am I gonna do? Pack up and go somewhere else? You're gonna deal with another bullshit when you get to another city.
That's a fact. Everybody got their bullshit.
Right. Everybody, everybody. You know what? I just learned how to deal with it, flow with it, and make the best of it. You know what? And the good thing about Seattle, it might be an expensive city to invest in, but the appreciation, right, and the cash flow and the higher rent, hands down, can't hardly beat it.
So you're getting the best of both worlds there. You get cash flow, you get the appreciation value, and you're not afraid to go with the flow and just stay on your ground, right?
The good thing about people, big city like Seattle, they pro-advocate on trying to help create more affordable housing. That's why they change zoning to put, you can get 5 houses on a 5,000 square foot lot.
That just sounds crazy to me.
That sounds insane.
Five houses on that's like a 50-by-100 lot.
Bro, I just bought a lot 60-by-100 and I'm putting 6 1,000 square foot cottage on it. And a 1,000 square foot cottage, I can rent it off of $3,000 a house.
Damn.
What?
And how much did you pay for this house?
I paid $600 and just for the lot. Dude, I gotta tear the lot down, right?
Uh-huh.
I paid $640,000 for just for the lot only. And then we build from there.
Now, how much does it cost to build something like that?
It costs about $250,000 to $275,000 a square foot to build a house.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to be all in. Each unit's going to cost me about probably 1,000 square foot. It's going to cost me about $425,000, $450,000.
Wow.
But each one of those units can be worth probably like, you know, $650,000.
Oh, wow.
So damn.
You know, it's like $400,000 profit per house.
Damn.
That's a big flip.
That's what I'm saying. But, you know, I'm going to build these. I'm going to keep them all as rental property. But that's the event. And in Seattle, we double in value every 7 to 8 years in value.
Double.
Damn. So Seattle sounds...
More rapidly in Seattle.
So Seattle sounds like a market that a lot of us real estate investors need to start going out to. Because no one really talks about Seattle.
No. The only thing about Seattle is you got to have money to actually play the game. When you're buying a property for $600,000, you got to put 20% down just to buy the dirt.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right? Compared to like Cleveland, some of my other friends, they can buy a whole fourplex, you know what I mean, for $150,000.
Right.
Damn. See? Damn. I did not know Seattle, you could make this type of money. I didn't even know the ADU laws was that lenient out there, because I think that has to be one of the most progressive states that I've heard. You know, I know Georgia, where Kiana is based, they now changed the laws, I think, on the beginning of this year.
Yes.
You could add like 2, I guess, ADUs.
Uh-huh,
like
2 that. ADUs.
But you guys can add up to 5. Like, what's the zoning laws like? Because you say you got a 5,000 square foot lot, and you can put 5 buildings on there. Like, does each house have to have 1,000 like square footage? Per house?
So there's 3 different types of zoning right now, or multiple. The lowest density is it's called SF5000, single family 5000. You need 5,000 square foot to put 1 primary house. Okay. Now, on a single family, if the lot's big enough, let's call it a 5,000 square foot lot. Like, I just bought a single family lot, zone single family, not zone townhouse. And it's a 5,500 square foot lot. I'm putting a 1,700 square foot primary, then I'm putting 2 1,000 square foot dadu next to it on a 5,500 square foot lot.
Wow. Damn.
See? That's the low density. When I go up to high density, like into townhouses, on a 6,000 square foot, I just bought a property. It was 7,000 square foot lot for $1 million for this land, and I'm putting 8 townhouses on it, and the average unit is going to be 1,400 square foot each.
And how much rental?
Oh, those are $3,500 the door all day.
Oh, that's crazy. That's insane. That is insane. $3,500 a door?
All day for a single 1,400 square foot house.
Oh, yeah, that's a hot market.
Yeah, you're blowing my mind right now.
This is a hot market. So for you,
why I miss you guys coming to Seattle so y'all can come tour this, man.
No, we, look, Tatch, we're definitely coming to Seattle this year. We're on the way. We couldn't make it this month, but we wanted to still have this conversation with you. And it's going to be great for our audience to, you know, watch and listen to this now and then see us out there with you in the field later on in the year. Because, look, you got my mind going right now.
Yeah.
And look, L.A., California, they got the same law now happening. Because the more dense the city is, the more the city will upzone it. So as things get tighter, they'll upzone it. You know what I mean? When I showed this to my boy Cliff Avro, he was like, "What? Making my game."
Nah, this is incredible.
Right, it's incredible. So for you, I want to know, like, we know that you got your real estate license while you were working at a Chinese restaurant, and like you were just basically knocking on doors every day, and you just kind of built your business brick by brick, right? Can you give us some like advice about like people that want to just jump into this market, like what advice would you give them? Because you know, you took your time and you own your own firm.
That's right. So I would say if anybody got to jump in this market, number one, you got to really know your market. If you say you're going to jump in the Seattle market, know your market in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Know what homes are selling for. How long is it taking to sell a property in the market? Know what price point, you know what I mean, is selling faster than others. Know what demographic is buying at what type price point. Know what neighborhood work better for renter, what neighborhood work better for flip, right? And then on top of that, know your zoning, right? Know what is the new sliced bread in Seattle. So if you was coming to Seattle, I would say to you, the new sliced bread in Seattle is to buy old houses, rehab, and put ADUs on them. You see? So when you know that, then now you are tunnel vision, and then you be an expert at that. Everybody in real estate, they all trying to go wide, but I keep telling people going wide is not as effective as knowing what you're looking for and going deep. And that's what I'll say. Know your market, know your zoning, and be a niche and a specialist on that and go deep versus trying to do everything. When you try to do everything, you don't get nothing.
Agreed.
But headaches.
Look, you get headaches, and then you get people have analysis paralysis. They don't go, never execute. So, I mean, I think what
and
you're
you
saying
lose your
true.
Money and your investors' money.
That is a fact. Big fact. They lose everybody's money because they're trying to do too much. They're trying to bite off more than they could chew.
And you know what the worst thing they lose?
What?
Is they lose peace of mind.
Oh,
that's
man.
Just priceless.
Let me tell you something. That's the best piece of advice you've said. Like, peace of mind is priceless. And I saw you, like, I see you on TikTok and I see you with your family and you're giving them the rules to success and just basically how to scale and how to live their life. Because if you don't mind sharing that with our viewers, like your rules to success and just really building and scaling.
Yeah. If you would have asked me when I was, you know, I'll be 52 pretty soon here. If you would have asked me even in my 40s, right? That's only one decade ago. Mm-hmm. I would have said success is about how much money you have, how many things you have, how many nice cars you get, how many trophies you get, where you rank in real estate, right? Where you rank on social media, mm-hmm. right? If you ask me today, I would say success is about balance. Because, you know, everybody got to deal with family, wealth, health, well-being, energy, friends, business, right? So my definition of success today, it's about learning how to keep all those in harmony and balance. Success is about family.
Yeah.
Success is about peace of mind. Success is about business. Success is about, you know, growing, right? You know, and for me, if success is all about money, why is there so many rich people out there that we and I, and both, all of us know, they got everything they wanted, but they also still you know, what I call fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
It's an internal thing more than an external thing.
No, I agree with that 100%. You know, everybody's always too busy chasing, and not taking time to smell the roses. And especially when you have family. Look, I've been the person, honestly, like I have tunnel vision sometimes, and I'm focused on getting to this bag. And you forget about your kids sometimes. You forget about your family. You forget
and
to be
so
present.
And what's crazy is when you chase after that bag, when you get there, you go, oh, it's not big enough. Let me chase after the next bag. And the problem with our rainbow, it never ends.
It never ends. You keep chasing. Like, there's a meme that I saw on the internet one time where they had the bag of the running. The guy was running after the bag. Then he turned into a skeleton and fell into the grave. And when I saw that, I said, wait a minute. That hit me personally because I said, you know what? It's time to, like, really have some balance and just really focus on the family just as much as I focus on my business.
Absolutely.
I have a mantra that says this, you guys. Be grateful and satisfied with where you at and eager for more.
Be grateful and satisfied for where you at.
Most people always chasing out the eager for more, but never grateful and satisfied with what I already got. Mm. Right? And the fastest way to get to where you want to go.
You do it all without breaking a sweat, and you do it all in style. From being a boss exec to getting the kids ready for school, checking homework, family dinners, lunches and brunches with your day ones, trips to the salon, and weekend getaways are anything but a getaway. That's why Infiniti fully reimagined the QX60 to help you conquer it all with ease. A luxury SUV as functional as it is stylish, and as versatile as it is serene. Even when you have back-to-back conference calls on top of the kids' basketball practices, not to mention your side hustles, it's all done with grace. The all-new Infiniti QX60 has available features like seating for up to 7 passengers, a suite of active safety features, and massaging front seats. It's the SUV designed to help you conquer life in style. Now with extremely limited availability, contact your local retailer for inventory information.
To really focus and appreciate what's already as a blessing in your life already.
Absolutely.
That's how you actually pour nitrous on where you want to go.
Man, I love that. I love that. That's a good gym right there.
It's an amazing gym. And I think for you, what I wanted to ask you, so now do you feel like creating passive income and buying these properties, that's your like, that's going to, that leads to more peace because now it's more passive than, you know, active working income?
Yeah. So today, you know, today I do it for the fun of it because, you know, my house is paid off. Pretty much most of my stuff is paid off, you know, like my personal house, everything. Because my mantra is we got to get a home base paid off, right? Right? People always try to leverage everything, you know what I mean? My personal house is all paid off, you know what I mean? A lot of my personal, like my living expenses and my business expenses, it's about 25 grand a month.
Okay.
Very little, you know, and I got the most expensive car you can get. You know, like multiple cars.
Yeah.
The house I live in.
We see you out there every year. We see how you're rolling.
You
know, where I live in Seattle is one of the second richest zip code, most expensive zip code in Seattle, right? But 25, 30 grand is what it'll cost me to live for my personal business and my personal life, my business life. But just in rent, I get 100 grand plus a month is in rent in cash flow, not alone the income I make. And so today, why I do it because I love the chase. Right? Tony Robbins taught me a long time ago. He says, live a life of Kanai, C-A-N-I, and it stands for constant and never ending improving.
I love that.
So why I do what I do at 51 years old is I want to continue to keep growing and improving and be more efficient. And I want to inspire my kid to see their dad teaching them but not sitting on the rocking chair pointing at him, but I'm on the field with them and playing with them. Mm. And that's how they actually respect you. My pop 50 and he's playing with me, right? And that's how I actually inspire my kids. I inspire my students and I inspire others out in the world because this 51-year-old guy is still out there door knocking, still out there cold calling, still out there mailing out, looking for deals every day because it's my way because to keep me growing and keep me, you know, Warren Buffett, I'm part of Warren Buffett's investment group.
Oh.
And Warren Buffett and Munger, they're 90 years old and they're sharp as a knife.
Yeah.
Why? Because they constantly keep learning and keep reading and keep expanding. So that's why I do it. And the second reason why I do it is to inspire other people. If I can do it at 51 years old with 100 grand a month in passive income, they ain't got no goddamn reason to get their ass out of the house and get going.
Look, Tatch, yo, look, man, I'm loving what you kicking up there, Tatch. Let's go, baby.
He said you ain't got no excuses.
Look, get off your ass and get to the bag, basically. It don't matter how old you are.
That's it. Or how broke you are, we're all starting at zero every day. Anyway, for me, when I wake up in the morning, you guys, I have my mindset saying I'm starting at zero myself. That's the only way I can motivate myself to get going. Otherwise, I can get complacent real fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I was going to ask you that, right? You're making $100,000 a month passively. Mm-hmm. You're probably making $100,000 a month, you know, working and earned income, right? And you're
just
still...
So you know, just so, and I'm not saying it's to brag anyway.
No, we want to hear the numbers.
Make $1 million a month and earn income.
$1 million a month and earn income. Let's talk about these sources. Where is this money coming from? You got your real estate brokerage, right?
Yep.
You have your flips.
I have my residential business.
Uh-huh.
I still help people buy and sell real estate. I still flip houses. And I still build houses to sell, right? I get my cash flow. I get my coaching business. I get affiliate money. I get sponsorship money, all that kind of stuff.
Man.
$1 million a month in earned income and $100,000 passively.
Listen.
Look.
And I'm out there doing auction every day, 3-4 hours a day.
You just gave us the blueprint. Let me get up. Okay. Let me get up.
Look. Hey, man, y'all, man. Yo, believe me, anybody at my level, they be sitting back relaxing, man. We starting at zero every day over here.
Look, I love everything you're saying right now.
You said we start at zero every day. Don't get comfortable.
Don't get comfortable.
Yo, what gives you this motivation, man? Because you make it look, I'm not going to hold you up, Tatch. If I'm making $1 million a month, I may not be talking to you right now. I might be in Turks and Caicos. I'm not even going to lie to you right now.
Listen, man, I already know, dude. I know so many cats that only get, I mean, a quarter. What inspired me, I'm telling you all right now, is everything I do is to inspire and empower people to reach for the golden dream. And see that anything is possible by me sharing my own story and journey. And that's why I'm here.
Wow, man.
And it's not for the money.
You know what, though? It's not always about the money. Because even for you, like, we know that at one point you were homeless.
Right.
And you had, like, a family sponsor your entire family to live in a shelter. And that's why you're really big on philanthropy. So when you're talking about these numbers, it's $1 million a month, people need to know that you also started from a space that you didn't get any handouts.
Humble beginnings.
Very humble beginnings. So, like, with Seattle ranking the third largest homeless population, what do you think about that? And are you going to help with that solution?
30% of my rental property, I rent home to affordable housing families.
Wow.
Mm. A lot of people don't even know that. If you look up, if you punch in YouTube, you punch in Good Morning America, American Dream, you'll see they did a whole clip on me on Good Morning America on being nominated for the American Dream Award.
Wow.
For a guy to actually provide houses for a less fortunate family. The whole thing. And 30% of my portfolio is for, I work with nonprofit in Seattle, and I rent the home to a nonprofit, and nonprofit will basically get Section 8, and then they will put their family to come through homelessness, and the Section 8 will pay me.
Wow. Like
that's
a cycle.
Amazing.
That's a cycle.
Wow, I love that.
Me too.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah, if you just check it out, go to YouTube, and you touch in Good Morning America, right? Thatch Win, and you see it.
Man, that's huge, man. So, like, for new developers, would you recommend them follow your footsteps with carving out affordable housing? Because most developers, they just want to get to that bag. They want that money right away. So would you recommend doing, you know, affordable housing too? Even if you're going to make less money, less profit?
I would say, number one, is first of all, stabilize yourself and your family first.
Right? Self-preservation.
And then after you do that, then I think that depending on what type of product you build, you can't build $1 million house and expect to rent that out to affordable housing. So a lot of the stuff I rent out are small townhouses and small apartment buildings. You know what I mean? And the thing is, when you rent to Section 8, you're not giving up rent that much lower, because Section 8 pay you market value for it, but through vouchers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Government assistance, you know what I mean? Right? It's just the family are getting it at a discount because, you know what I mean, the government is assisting their rent to the landlord.
I love it.
So it's a win-win.
Are you still managing agents? Realtors?
I have my family that does property manager that manage pretty much all my property today. So my job is to go find property and then basically buy it and develop it out or rehab it out and then turn it over to them when I'm done doing it.
Okay, so your family does all your property management, which is great because now you're hiring your family and teaching them the business. But what about your real estate brokerage? Are you still hiring and recruiting agents to join your firm?
I don't hire much anymore. because I want to keep my business lean. But I now, that's why I created the coaching business, because I can teach them how to do it versus them work underneath me. I don't have to babysit them. If they want to do it, great. If they don't want to do it, it's on them.
I love that.
I love that. Let me tell you something. And speaking from a broker's perspective, I have my own real estate brokerage, and I went from last year's 5 agents. Now I have 32 agents, and I'm sitting here like, how did that happen? But at the same time, I do have an online coaching, and I get what you're saying. You get to a certain number, and you got to kind of take a step back, because people do people stuff. People do people shit. And you be held liable as the broker, because every single contract, everything they do is really under your name. And you're held liable for their actions. So I see why you want to keep it lean. But your coaching program, I know you are pushing out some millionaire ideas with that coaching program, right?
I am. See, for me is this. I'm 51 years old. And I realize my time on the earth is shrinking. Mm. And so what I don't want to do as I get older is to put more on my plate. Mm. I want to take more off my plate. Because what's the purpose of us working when we're younger to get that bag, right? And then when you get older, you don't have time to enjoy it. You get sick and then you die. What's the purpose? Yeah. So if you're going to go get that bag, set yourself up so that when you get older in the 50s and the 60s, you can enjoy all that hard work. The problem most people, they think working hard, flipping houses as hard work. It is. But the problem is if they don't set themselves up so that they can stop working that hard when they're in the 50s and the 60s, they're going to have to keep flipping houses. And what's the purpose? Keep making money. You're going to get sick and ill when you're 60 and 70 that you never get to enjoy your money anyways.
Mm. Perspective.
See, that's the thing what people don't get. If you're going to work hard and young, work hard, stack your money, park some of that money in rental property. So when you get to the 50 and the 60, you can take the shit off your plate. You don't have to run that much on the treadmill like most people. And then you can enjoy the money you made. Otherwise, why even bother working?
Agreed.
All these years are anyway. So that's why for me, I don't want a lot of agents, because it's just putting a lot on my plate. I got to deal with, you know, this stuff. And I make way more money in real estate investing, right, than having 5, 10, 15 agents. Because then they slow me down anyways.
Yeah.
But if you don't know how to do it, come on my poster, girl. I'm going to tell you A, B, C, D, F, G. If you do it, you're going to be rewarded. You're going to get rewarded. If you don't do it, you're going to suffer. But at least they're not making decisions underneath my name that just bogging me down.
I love it.
Look.
You're giving me some insight too.
You're speaking the language, but it's great insight. People have to know that, especially in this digital world. And you still love the chase. See, when you still love the chase, you got a fire to find the deal because you still enjoy the chase. You enjoy the thrill of the sale.
People that are really good at sales,
you enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
That's why you do it.
You enjoy it more than the money. The money is secondary from the chase. Uh-huh.
Agreed.
Right? And you just got to love it. That's why I said for anybody new or listening, you got to know why you want to get into real estate investing. And you got to really associate what does owning rental property and having cash flow really mean to you. For me, what it mean for me is to retire my mom and dad so they don't ever have to work anymore.
Love it.
And that was the association. And that drove me to get the number of door, and then I actually retired my mom and dad before my dad passed away from cancer. And today, what drive me today, right, to get in that passive income is my next generation, which is my kids. And everyone who follow me. And that's why what keep me motivated to go out there and look for a deal and chase, go after the chase, is for my kids and everyone who follow me. And that's my burning fire every day to get up in the morning, starting at zero.
So let me ask you, like as a parent, I love that. But as a parent, right, I have a 16 and a 14-year-old. I have a 7-year-old too. But for the teenagers, right, how do you get them motivated the way you have your kids motivated? Your kids are hustlers just like you. And now my children are hustlers too. But sometimes it's like pulling teeth sometimes. Like, come on, like, what are you doing? Like, chop, chop, let's go. So, like, what are 3 tips that you can give for parents, right, to get their kids interested in the real estate business?
Correct.
Man, I did this. I answered this question one time on social media, man. I think we had like 10 million views on this comment. Okay. Look, my kid, you know, they're not 100% hustler as much as I would like them to hustle. And my wife Cam and I realized my kid might never be a hustler like me. If I'm gonna say 1 to 10, I'm a 10. Right now, they're probably a 5 and a 6. And you know what? They might never be a 9 and a 10. I just gotta accept that. But I'm gonna tell you the first thing about if you wanna teach your kid how to be a hustler. And this one comment really broke the internet. We gotta stop making it easy for our kid.
Agreed.
We gotta actually let them burn their hand on the stove so they know it feel like to burn their hand on the stove. Parents, we gotta stop making it easy for our kids. We gotta stop doing things for them. We gotta actually make it easy. We gotta let them suffer. And we gotta let them basically learn how to figure out the solution and figure it out. The problem, we jump in, we give them all the solution, all the answer, and they never have to think. So we never let them touch the stove. Oh, but that's what we came to America for. So we can actually make it, you know, make work hard, we make money so we can give it to your kid. No. I told my kid, when I die, they're gonna get a small percentage of my fortune. And the rest, I'm gonna use it to make the world better.
Oh, wow.
So my kids, now until the time I die, they gotta learn how to make their own money. Because if I give them 100, 200, 300 million when I die, and they never learned it, all they're gonna do is burn up my money anyways.
Facts.
True.
Okay? Facts. And so, no, I didn't come to America to work hard so I can then make it easy for my kids. I came to America to work hard so I can have a good life for myself. And I'm gonna teach my kid how to do it, right? And if they don't wanna learn, they're gonna have to touch the stove and go broke until they wake up and go, help me. And the problem with all minority family, I noticed, they make it easy for their kids and they try to save them. If you wanna grow your kid to have some grit, let them fall on their face, let them burn their hand, and then they will go, Dad, I'm ready.
Yes.
Help.
I like that. I agree with that. That's a never-ending battle in my house. I'm not even going to hold you up because I'm more like, look, I come from the projects. Yep. I had to fend for myself. My pops didn't teach me nothing. Everything I learned was on my own. And, you know, their mom is more like, well, it should be easy for them, right?
Yeah.
Let's make it work for them. I'm like, no, hell no. This is my money. Right? They're broke. They're broke roommates. They're right. Nothing else. I'm the one who got the money, not them. Okay. So I agree with everything you're saying.
We still provide for our kids a necessity, right? Well, my kids want to go buy some Dunks. They're going to have to come up with their own money. Like my 16-year-old kid, Russell, he just turned 16. And I told him, you make money on your washing dryer machine. You and your brother make $1,000 every single month. Right? If you want, I'll make a deal with you. If you buy the car, I pay half of the payment, you pay the other half, and you'll pay half of the insurance, you pay the other half of the insurance. If you wouldn't do that, right, you can go buy the car. So he ordered, you know, he ordered a new Tesla, which is like $45,000. The payment is like $500 a month. He paid $250, I paid $250. Bam. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm teaching him a lesson. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
He got to work.
That's what I'm saying. Now, I got enough money to pay cash for the car, but I ain't going to make it that easy for them.
No, I love that. You got to make them earn their stripes.
You got it.
No, I love that. Go ahead, Q.
And you know what I'm thinking as you're speaking? What's going to happen is when you do leave them with some money or when you do give them some money, they're going to know how to flip it and they're going to know how to manage it and they're going to understand how to run business. What happens is we don't teach how to run business, so you get a lump sum of money. I remember when I was a child, my aunt got like a lump sum of money. Didn't understand how to run business, didn't understand money, and blew through the money in 1 year. Blew through all of it. And it happens so often in minority families. So what you're saying is true. Like, let's make sure that we teach them, and you can only really learn by doing.
That's right. And we only can teach the student when a student is ready.
Facts. That's a fact. You can lead the horse to water. You can't make him drink.
Correct.
And the best way to lead that horse to water is you let them freaking die from thirst, from thirst, and then they come find the water.
I love
it. The minority family, what they do with the kid, the horse is getting, you know, thirsty. They go run, find the horse, give him the water. I said, let the horse go find the water.
I love it.
All right.
So how do you feel about your kids going to college?
I'm a big advocate of college, even though a lot of people on social media said, don't go to college. But I'm going to tell you why. I think going to college, beyond college, number one, they get to go out there and have time to find themselves and find their purpose. outside of their parents' house. Mm. Number two, they get to go out there and get to meet and network with a lot of different people.
Agreed.
That could actually be the person that helped them with any opportunity, right, out there, right? Four, that after college, they might find out, you know what? I really want to do real estate. So I don't really care my kid go to college, right, and be a doctor or be whatever. I want them to go to college, right, because my kid already told me they want to be a real estate investor. But I told them, look, I want you to go to college, and I want you to go out there and go take business school, economics, you know what I mean? Learn all that. But beyond that, I want them to go out there and have some time to go find themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Go network, meet people, because it's the networking, the meeting people, and the time to ask them to actually go and find themselves is beyond college. I don't really care if they actually get anything out of college.
Mm.
But it's that.
So, I like that. Oh, yeah. I like that. I agree with that.
Like, that was a great, I mean, that's a wonderful, people say, oh, you didn't need to get a college degree to be a real estate broker. But I can tell you the time I spent at college, it taught me the people skills and it taught me how to get in different rooms and speak to different people. And I think sometimes if you go straight from high school into entrepreneurship, you miss a huge gap. Yeah. And that gap of time is finding yourself and identifying how you, what you like, what you dislike. So I think that it's a great tool to have no matter what, whether you decide to be an entrepreneur or not. So I'm glad that you put that perspective out there, because I went to an HBCU and I still feel like, you know, we still need colleges. And I think as many people are going more and more into entrepreneurship, they're diminishing the value of having a college education. And oftentimes it's not just the education, it's the college experience.
That's it. The experience is what I want my kid to have. I don't care to come back with no degree, but the experience. But in the experience, you got to come back with a bigger degree than college degree.
Look, let me tell you, I'm one of those kids who went to college and I ain't got no degree. But that experience was life changing for me and some of my best friends to this day I met in college. So I 1,000% agree.
That's what I'm talking about, bro. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, if your family ain't got no money to have you send your kid to college, that's a whole different story. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
If you get the means to get them to go, let them go have that experience, because that experience will help give them time to form their mind. Because let's be honest, you don't know nothing when you get out of high school.
That's a fact.
Matter of fact, one of my mentors told me a long time ago, he said, man, you don't know shit until you hit 50. And I was like, man, you do. Right? Well, when I broke 51, I said, man, that cat was smart. I just now beginning my life now.
Oh, wow.
Man, that's a big gem. So let me ask you, licensed real estate professional, right? Mortgage broker, real estate brokers. Like, how important is it for us, licensed professionals, to use social media to market and brand ourselves?
1,000%.
Because a lot of agents and mortgage guys, they hate going on social media. They're too busy to go on social media. And I'm like, how are you too busy? It's 24 hours in a day, right? Like, so how important it is, because your brand has exploded over the past 2 to 3 years, especially during the pandemic. And I'm pretty sure that's brought you millions of dollars in revenue also. So how important is it for you to use social media as a tool to grow?
Listen, for the people that don't take advantage of social media, right? It's just their mindset. Mm. It's just old school mindset. Ugh. You know what I mean? I remember the first time when we had a phone.
Yep.
Right? They're like, oh my God, it's so difficult. You know what I mean? Right? Everything is online now.
Yes.
Right? Why would you go pay people to, why would you go pay media company to advertise when you can create your own media company? Oh, I don't have time. No, that's just, right? That's just your excuse because you don't want to do it. You don't see the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
But you got time to do everything else, right? So it's super important. My tip for people out there is when you're on social media, you got to spend 75% of your time inspiring people, educating people, and giving them tips about your business on social media. And the other 25% can be personal. Yes. Most people got it backward. They spend 75% of their time videotaping, they're in Las Vegas shaking their nice ass booty. But it doesn't represent a brand.
Facts.
Oh, man.
You know, that's so crazy. I hate when I see realtors, right? They're a realtor and their name and their bio and everything like that. But I'm swiping through the page like, where's the closings? Where's the education? Where's the clients? But they're shaking their ass in Vegas.
My stuff, 75% of my video and stories are always educating, free stuff, inspiring people, giving tips. And the other 25% is personal. Family, kid, cars, traveling, eating with the family, yada, yada. Because when people think of Thatch, they don't think about, you know what I mean, personal. They think about real estate.
Exactly.
But they associate, he's a man, he's a real estate businessman that's committed to his family too.
Exactly.
Facts. And I love it.
You know what, it's crazy. I tell Matt, I have this formula. And I've been giving you this formula. I've been running this formula on my page since me and Matt met. Because I recognize that you got to give them a little bit of personal because they got to know that you are a human being. And people buy into people more than they buy into the service. So they want to know, like, how are you married? Do you have a dog? Do you have a child? Whatever. Like, they want to know enough about you to feel personable. But they really want to know the knowledge. And it's crazy you just said this. Me and Matt was just talking to each other the other day. And we're like, we got to get back to our roots where we were always sharing education.
Yep,
I'll share houses and I'll share closings. I slowed down on the educational videos and I don't even have a reason why. I don't even know why.
We just get lost, right? Yeah. We just get lost in the plan, the action of the brand. If you were going to pay a big media company to do it, they're going to tell you 75% of your time should be giving tips, information, inspiring people around the business that you want everybody to know you're in.
Yes.
Nah.
You see what I'm saying? That you're in, right? So I tell all my students, 75% of your time, you guys should be out there filming. You're buying a property, you're rehabbing a property, and you're looking for this type of property.
Agreed.
Okay? So right? where do you see yourself in the next 5 years in this real estate business?
That's a good question. So I'm 51 years old. My next 10 year, it's funny you asked. This is my 10-year letter.
Okay.
Oh, I love that.
You got a 10-year letter.
Got a 10-year. I write these every 10 year. Every 10 year.
Okay.
So for me, everyone listening, at the beginning, you want to write your 1 year goal. But once you get going on that, you want to write 10-year goal. Because you know why? 1 year, 5 year go by too fast. Okay. You really want to look out there and work out there working backwards. 10 year and backwards, okay? Because you need time for it to happen. So 10 year backwards. So this is my goal, right? Look, 2028, right? And look what I've written it. I've written it in 2017.
Wow.
See? And so basically, you know, my whole goal is written, you know what I mean? How am I spend my life, where I'm living at most of the time, how much property I have, right? What am I doing in the world? What am I doing in the community? Blah, blah, blah. And I read this. You look how ragged it is. I read it all the time. See?
Oh, my God.
That's amazing.
That's so inspiring.
And so I read all the time. So I'll give you an example. Like, this is my value in life, right? My value is abundance, contribution, freedom, joy, simplicity, creativity, growth, and balance. And if I do anything that doesn't align with those values, then I'm gonna get involved. Mm. And so to answer your question, bro, I'm at a point in my life now that once I pay off all my property, I'm gonna have probably $250,000, $300,000 a month in positive cash flow. So I have plenty of money. So it ain't like I need to, you know, to go get $1,000 to get $1 million a month in rent. Because you know what? I'm gonna be dead by the time that happens. You know what I mean? And my kid's not gonna need all that money to live. And you know, I already done my share of work, so I don't need to give, $1 billion to charity. I can give $500 million charity, I'm still good. But I'm not gonna break my back. So my goal right now is in the next 10 years, I look at my portfolio and I look and I rank them the best to the last best. And I look every year and I look and I go, which property I think that's okay at the bottom, then I will sell that and I'll 1031 it into better property. Mm. Sell out one property and get maybe 10, 20, 30 door that give me better equity, better cash flow. I trade those. The rest of the property I think is good that I keep them, right? And then I'm on the, what I call the payoff stage. Because in investing, there's two phases. One is called accumulation, and then phase two is called payoff. So I already got my accumulation. Now I'm gonna still accumulate, right? I trade up for better stuff, But I also look for, I always find good deals. I'm always going to buy them, right? But my main energy right now for the next 10 years, by the time I'm 60, which is this letter, is to pay down those property that I actually have that I'm going to keep. Someone could say to me, well, man, why would you want to actually pay them down? You can leverage them and, you know, you get more property. Everybody's different. By the time I'm 60, I don't want to have a loan on my head. I don't want to have the gun to the back of my head at 60 years old with a $100 million note. Why? Why do I want that? I want to be at 60 years old, you know, with $500 million in net worth, you know, $200,000 a month in cash flow, sitting on the beach and do a deal whenever I feel like doing a deal. That's called peace of mind. That's called success.
You just drop the mic, Tatch.
Certified gem dropper. Look, yes, man, I know we're running short on time. I know you got other things that you need to do today. Look, I can't wait to come to Seattle. We may have to come to Seattle sooner than later, man, because you're dropping so many gems, and I know when we face to face, I know that energy is going to be even more better. So I'm looking forward to this, man, this conversation live in Seattle coming soon.
I'm going to tell you all right now, you come to Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to come back, man. Your brain's going to be like leaking out your ear, out of your eyeballs. You know what I mean? We had to call a surgeon, kind of rewire your brain. You
know? That's what we need, though.
Yeah. Word. So before we let you go, we need you to drop one more last gem for our audience. Yep. Anything you want it to be about real estate investing, being a licensed a professional, whatever you want to give, your last gem, Tatch.
When I came from Vietnam with my family of eight, we came here with $100 and one suitcase. We lived in the homeless shelter for a few months. Then we lived with a sponsor. And then that was 1975. In 1977, my dad rented a house. And my dad's number one goal, you guys, was to achieve the American dream of home ownership. Which is basically he bought his first rental property basically in 1979. That was my dad's number one goal, is to actually own the American dream. Today, I'm inspired today to inspire and empower billions of people to basically own the American dream, have ownership. Mm-hmm. Because the best that you can do, the best legacy you can leave for your family is ownership. So if there's anything I want you to take away from my talk today, okay? Ownership to me, what it means is own your real estate, own your house, own your investment property, own your cash flow, own your time, own your activity, own your air, own your well-being, own your result. But the most important thing, own your responsibility. So when you take responsibility for yourself, you can actually own anything around you. So my takeaway for all you guys, right? I want you guys to take away is this. It's about owning it. Own real estate, own your life, own your action, own your responsibility. And when you can own it, folks, anything is possible. That's ownership, baby.
Man, I love that, Tatch. Tell them how to find you, brother.
You guys can find me basically on Instagram, my name, Thatch Win. You guys see it at the bottom there, or TikTok. That's when all Facebook is all the same thing. That's man, it.
Love
man,
it.
Man, thank you for your time today. We really appreciate it, man. Certified gem dropper.
Oh, yes.
Look, Keanu.
It wasn't just about real estate. He just gave us life advice.
Life principles.
It's like life principles of life to live by. And I just love it. Like, you have given us so much fresh. It's like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, nah. I'm inspired. Yes, I'm not going to hold you up.
Me too.
I don't get inspired by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But you definitely inspired me with this conversation today, and we definitely appreciate you, and we're definitely coming to Seattle.
Oh, I got to come to Seattle.
We have to come to Seattle to check you out live and in person, brother.
I look forward to you guys.
All right, y'all. So look, tap in with what I got, Tatch. This is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage Guy.
And my name is Kiana Watson, broker extraordinaire, license number 317576. Thank you for tuning in to another incredible episode of the Rants and Gems Show.
Peace.